Let's start with a sword drill, if you would, young people. Let's see, better get my verses right here real quick. Genesis 10:9. I'll just let you read verse 9, and then I'll read verse 10 after you're done. Genesis 10:9, go. Thank you. I'll go ahead and read verse 8 too. And Cush begat Nimrod. He began to be a mighty one in the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Wherefore it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord. And the beginning of his kingdom was Babel, and Erech, and Akkad, and Calna, in the land of Shinar. So we're going to be looking at Babel this evening, but more specifically, Babylon. The beginning of his kingdom was Babel. Babel was either the early name of Babylon, or it was, and by the way, it was the first city built, the first city, and you remember the story. Babel was built, and then they all had one language, and God came down and confounded the language. And at that point, either the city of Babel was emptied. What's the word? It was, no, not sacked. They left the city, everybody, or they could have, some of them could have stayed there and renamed the city. Probably, though, the city was just left behind, and everybody left, and most likely, the ones that stayed there in that area, they moved to a new location and built a new city. And they named that one Babylon, most likely. So Babylon was probably one of the next cities built after Babel happened. But Babel is the early name, and Babylon is the long lasting name. Again, we're not sure if Babylon was built on the exact site of Babel, or if it was in a nearby location. I tend to think it was a nearby location. But we're going to be looking at Babylon. It, of course, Genesis talks about Babylon. And somebody read for me. Let's have another sword drill. Revelation 17:5. Revelation 17:5. Go. Revelation 17:5. Who's got it? Very good. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. So Babylon, the city, the idea, prophetically, there's a prophetic meaning to Babylon. There's a religious meaning to Babylon. And we're going to be looking at the religious meaning to Babylon this evening, not the prophetic meaning. But we're going to have a study on the religious meaning. Mystery, Babylon the Great. And this is the name God has given to the religious side of Babylon. Mystery, Babylon. Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. Why did God give the name of the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth to this city? Well, we're going to be looking at that in just a little bit. But also, let's read, if you would, chapter 18. After these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, And the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works. And the cup which she hath filled, fill to her double. How much she hath glorified herself, and lived deliciously. So much torment and sorrow give her, for she saith in her heart, I sit a queen, and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. So we're going to be looking at Babylon. And Babylon, the idea, the religious side of Babylon started way back with the very first city, the very, very first city that was built after the flood. Of course, Cain built some cities before the flood, but after the flood, the very first city built became became Satan's way of beginning all religions, And so we're going to stop here with the Bible and go into a picture study, and hopefully that will help you young people understand this a little bit better. Let's pray and ask God's blessing on it. Dear Lord Jesus, please help the young people to understand about the religious implications and the meaning of Babylon and why God destroyed Babylon in the very end, and why he had to. Father, I pray that you'd help them to understand that idolatry is a very wicked thing, and putting anything before God is idolatry, whether or not you worship a idol or not. If you don't have to bow down to something to be an idolater. You simply have to put something before God. And that is what Babylon stood for, idolatry. And so, Lord, I pray that you bless this study. In Jesus' precious name, amen. All right, so I'm going to go to the back and operate it, the picture from the back.
If I can. Need some more lights turned off? There we go. All right, remember, kids, we're having a quiz afterwards about what we study here. So try to pay close attention. Can everybody hear me? Okay. Bible Times and Ancient Kingdoms. This is from Way of Life Literature. Dr. Cloud made this. We're looking at ancient Babylon this evening. Babylon is a major theme of Scripture. It appears in the early chapters of Genesis and does not disappear until the last chapters of Revelation. We just looked at that in the Bible. In this study, we examine Babylon from a religious perspective as the birthplace of idolatry. We're not going to be looking at it from a prophetic viewpoint tonight or next month at all, just the religious side of it. Babylon's beginning. The beginning of Babylon's history is recorded in Genesis 10 through 11 with the founding of Nimrod's kingdom and the building of the Tower of Babel. God commanded Noah and his sons to spread abroad and replenish the earth, but they congregated in a place called Shinar, which is a huge fertile valley between the Tigris and Euphrates rivers. And we know that Shinar is mentioned in the Bible. We also know that Mesopotamia is mentioned in the Bible. It's also known as the Fertile Crescent. And this is it right here, the Fertile Crescent, the light green area. Babylon was located on the Euphrates River in Shinar. The arrow is pointing to it, also called Mesopotamia. And of course, we haven't found, you can see that the Tower of Babel, the little words right on top of the arrow, there's a question mark about the Tower of Babel. We don't know for sure where the first Tower of Babel was, but we assume it was in the vicinity of the new city of Babylon. And Cush begat Nimrod. He began to be a mighty one in the earth. And the beginning of his kingdom was Babel, and Erech, and Akkad, and Calneh, in the land of Shinar. Out of that land went forth Asher, and builded Nineveh, and the city of Rehoboth, and Calah, and Rezin, Between Nineveh and Calah, the same is a great city. Genesis 10, 8 and 10 through 12. We see that powerful city-states spread all across Mesopotamia, and many of these ancient cities have been unearthed through archaeology and have been identified with the biblical names used in Genesis 10. Babel was the first city, which we believe was abandoned. That's the word I was looking for. Abandoned after God confounded the languages, and Babylon was the new city rebuilt in a nearby location, most likely. The spread of city-states in the early centuries after the flood happened very quickly. They popped up all over the place. Ugarit on the Mediterranean seacoast, Nineveh, and then Mari, Babylon, Ur, Susa, all of these were city-states that they built very quickly after the flood, within the first 200 or so years. But Babel, this was the beginning of the kingdom of Babylon, Babylon, which became a powerful empire centuries later, and which in mystery form continues to exist in the world today. And that mystery form is the religious side, the religious side of Babylon. Instead of fearing the living God and trusting in His grace, the majority of mankind rebelled even more than their forefathers and tried to put the Holy Creator, God, out of mind. In the description of the Tower of Babel in Genesis 11, 1 through 4, God's name is nowhere mentioned. Babel was and is all about man. Babylon's first leader, the first leader of Babylonian religion, was Nimrod. We see that in Genesis 10. And Cush begat Nimrod. He began to be a mighty one in the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Wherefore it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord. And the beginning of his kingdom was Babel, and Erech and Akkad and Calna in the land of Shinar. Liberals and unbelievers consider Nimrod a mythical figure, but this is willful skepticism. The Bible is a far more dependable historical record than anything that has been dug from the sands of Egypt or the hills of Mesopotamia. The extra-biblical record of that time is a jumbled, contradictory mess. Extra-biblical means outside of the Bible. The writings of that time, the writings of the kings that lived during that time, they're stories about how wonderful they were. They're not very accurate. They're jumbled. They're a contradictory mess. And any real history is hidden beneath a slathering of pagan mythology. The kings wouldn't tell the truth about themselves. The Bible says that Nimrod was a mighty one in the earth, describing his prominence. He was the first leader of an anti-God confederacy, the first ruler of a humanistic empire. He's the forerunner of the end times Antichrist. The description of Nimrod as a mighty hunter refers to his prowess as a hunter of animals as well as a hunter of men. He was a lion killer and a man killer. He was a conqueror, an emperor, an empire builder. Babylon's chief god was actually called Bel-Nimrod. In other words, Nimrod became a god to the people of Babel and Babylon. Bel-Nimrod was also Bel-Merodach or Bel-Nipru. I don't know if I'm saying those names right, but anyway. Bel-Nimrod had the characteristics of Nimrod. He was a god-king and a mighty warrior. Bel-Nipru means the great hunter. Renowned archaeologist Henry Rawlinson said, quote, "The worship of Bel-Nimrod in Chaldea extends through the whole time of the monarchy," end quote. The Bible's description of Nimrod fits several men known to secular historians. Consider three of those. There was Naram-Sin, or Naram-Sin. A victory stela in the Louvre depicts a god-king dating to about 2250 B.C. That would be approximately, give or take 300 years before the time of Abraham, which is about the time of Nimrod, 2250 B.C. Naram-Sin is conquering a group of people called the Lulubi. He wears a horned helmet signifying deity, and he carries a bow and a spear. He has the characteristics of the biblical Nimrod: bold leadership, pride, idolatry, military prowess. And then there is the man Asher. The Assyrian Empire was named after Asher, the founder of Nineveh, Genesis 10:10-11. Asher was associated with the Nimrod Empire. Perhaps he was even the same guy. We're not sure. Probably, I doubt he was the same guy because of how the Bible writes it. But maybe, could have been. Since the 19th century, the name Asher has become well known to historians and archaeologists. Asher became another mythological god, false god. But there is no reason to believe that he was not also the real man mentioned in the Bible. He had the characteristics of Nimrod as well. He was a mighty leader and hunter warrior. Notice in the picture he's carrying a bow. His symbol was a bow. All of the great Babylonian and Assyrian kings depicted themselves as hunter warriors. Notice the circle behind him representing the sun. Asher was associated with astrology, being worshipped as the sun god, symbolized by a circle encompassing the rays of the sun. Then the third man that could be Nimrod, known by secular historians, was Gilgamesh. Sumerian records claim that Gilgamesh was the king of Erech in about 2500 BC. This takes us back to the time of Nimrod following the flood. Erech is a city mentioned in Genesis 10 in association with Nimrod and Asher. It is pronounced Uruk, I believe, in the Akkadian language. It is probable that the Gilgamesh mythology has an historical basis in Nimrod, as the Bible says Erech was the beginning of Nimrod's kingdom after Babel. Genesis 10:10. Even skeptics believe that Gilgamesh was a real ruler. Quote, "It is generally accepted that Gilgamesh was a historical figure, since inscriptions have been found which confirm the historical existence of other figures associated with him," end quote. That's from Wikipedia. The Gilgamesh epic describes the flood from a pagan perspective. Gilgamesh is described as a proud, cruel conqueror. These are Nimrod traits. Gilgamesh is also depicted as a mighty hunter. Here he is conquering two lions. I'm not sure where the second lion is in that picture. Maybe he's standing on it. But if you can find a second lion, let me know. I'd like to hear your perspective on that one. But Babylon's tower. The Bible says, "And they said one to another," this is the Tower of Babel. "They said one to another, 'Go to, let us make brick and burn them throughly.' And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, 'Go to, let us build us a city and a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth.'" Now keep in mind, this was approximately just 100 years after the flood. And Noah and his sons are all still living. This is an artist's rendition of ancient Babylon, not Babel, but ancient Babylon, with Babylon's tower in the background. The towers that spread across Mesopotamia from Babel were ziggurats, or stepped pyramids. That sounds like a really good quiz question right there. At least 34 have been unearthed at Babylon, Nineveh, Erech, Kala, Asher, Ur, Elam, and many other places. We don't know exactly what the original Tower of Babel looked like, but in 460 BC, the Greek historian Herodotus described the tower at Babel as follows. It has a solid central tower, 1 furlong square. 1 furlong is 1/8 mile. That's 660 feet square. With a second central tower erected on top of it, and then a third, and so on up to 8. All 8 towers can be climbed by a spiral way running around the outside, end quote. According to an architectural tablet found at Babylon, the ziggurat in Nebuchadnezzar's day was 300 feet square at the base and about 300 feet high. Again, 1/8 mile is 660 feet. If Herodotus is correct, the Tower of Babel was over twice the size of Nebuchadnezzar's. An amazing monument was discovered in Babylon in 1917 depicting Nebuchadnezzar looking at his tower. The king's image is still clear, but that of the tower is heavily worn, though its general shape as a stepped pyramid is visible. Nebuchadnezzar on the right, the tower vaguely on the left-hand side. And here's a reconstructive drawing of Ur's ziggurat tower. Originally, and this is it in real life. Originally, it was 200 by 150 feet at the base and stood at least 75 feet high. This is a partial reconstruction on the actual site today. And this is an aerial view from a flyover from a helicopter in 2009. Very big construction here. And this is the guesstimated idea of what it looked like when it was finished. The reconstruction of the tower on top of it. Over top of it. This is the remains of the ziggurat at Choga Zandel near Susa, Elam, from the 13th century B.C. And the 13th century would have been about the time of Joseph. This is the remains of the ziggurat at Asher. And the remains of the white temple at Erech, or Uruk. It was devoted to the goddess Inanna, or Ishtar. And we're going to be talking about how Babylon's religion is still the religions of the world today. Babylon's religion, Satan started all of the ideas of religion there in Babylon. And he simply modified them as time has gone on. This is a reconstruction of the ziggurat of Ishtar there at Uruk. This is the remains of the ziggurat Dur Kurigalzu on the Tigris River, 15th or 14th century BC. This photo was taken in 1915. I'm sorry, the 15th century would be about the time of Joseph. The 13th century would be getting close to the time of Joshua. This is the pyramid of Djoser. One of the pyramids of Egypt is a stepped pyramid. It is considered Egypt's first pyramid. The tunnels below it are 3.5 miles long. And that's it from the ground level. The ancient towers were colorful and pleasing to the senses. Each stage was a different color, answering to the colors of the planets. The shrines at the apex were typically built of bright blue glazed bricks topped with golden domes. And this is a painting of the tower at Ur. Notice the bright blue top building, the temple up there. The tower at Chogazonbil near Susa was made of glazed brick and enameled tiles in silver, gold, black, green, blue, and azure colors, further decorated with marble and white obsidian stones. So they made these very beautiful buildings. Very, very expensive to build. The terraces of each stage were sometimes covered with soil and planted with trees, so that the structure had the appearance of a forested mountain. These towers had complex irrigation and drainage systems. They would have to keep all those plants alive in those desert areas. Now, kids, good question here, quiz question. From that time forward, from the time of Babel and those early cities, from that time forward, idolatry has always been associated with high places, groves, and star worship. Why? Because it's a high place, there's trees on it, and it was built and colored in the according to the planets. So from this time forward, it was ingrained in man's thinking that idolatry, you have to put it on a high place. There's usually groves, and it deals with star worship. And we see that in the Bible. For he built again the high places, which Hezekiah his father had broken down. And he reared up altars for Balaam, and made groves, and worshipped all the host of heaven. There's the stars and the planets, and served them. Very interesting how what Babylon started stuck with man, well, for the rest of time. The description of the tower in Genesis 11 fits that of the ziggurats uncovered by archaeology. even the very materials that were used. The tower was made with burnt brick. Let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. Many kiln-fired bricks have been dated by archaeology to the time of the flood. One of Nebuchadnezzar's bricks from his Babylon, with his name inscribed. It was fired so well that it is almost like stone. This one is in the Oriental Institute Museum. Another one of Nebuchadnezzar's bricks with his name inscribed in the British Museum. A brick dating to 2120 BC from Ur in the Louvre in Paris. Notice how hard-fired it is, nearly stone solid. And what is interesting about this particular stone, if it was put into a building in 2120 BC, Abraham could have easily seen this particular brick or touched it or walked by it. He would have lived about 150 to 200 years later. It was probably still in the building that it got put in when Abraham lived. Pretty interesting. They used slime. It was the same substance that Noah had used to pitch the ark in Genesis 6:14. Obviously, this was not mud slime. The Hebrew word kemar refers to bitumen. In the Latin Bible, it was translated asphaltos. Herodotus said that springs of liquid bituminous matter existed in Mesopotamia. Some of the bitumen can be seen on the top of this ancient brick from Shinar. Bitumen can also be seen on this ancient brick from the days of Ur. Colorful glazed bricks were often used for exposed parts of the towers and buildings. You can still see some of the color on these ancient bricks. You can see the flowers on the side there. They made their towers very beautiful. But Babylon's religion, based centralized with their towers, though. The Tower of Babel was preeminently an act of idolatry. It was the beginning of the mystery religions that permeated the world. Revelation 17:5 says, Babylon is the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. Every religion of the world can be traced back to Babylon. The names of religions have been changed. The idols, the false gods and goddesses, their names have been different in every nation. But it is the same religion with the same false gods. Satan has simply updated and modernized them for each succeeding generation. When the builders of the Tower of Babel said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven, they were not talking about building an actual tower to heaven, but about bridging heaven and earth through mystery religions. This is, this is clear from the ancient inscriptions that have been unearthed through archaeology. The temple linking heaven and earth in Larsa, they actually thought that they had linked heaven and earth. In Sippar, the temple of the stairway to pure heaven, they thought they had made it. And in Ur, the temple was a ladder to and from heaven. Again, they thought they had succeeded in getting, in making man's way of eternal life to heaven. The towers represented the path of salvation, or man's attempt at his own salvation. At the top of the temple of Ishtar at Mari was an image of the goddess with the, quote, water of everlasting life, end quote, perpetually flowing from her hands. Water of everlasting life. Interesting. The promise of the Tower of Babel of everlasting life was a lie, but the true water of life is available in Jesus Christ, as he said to the Samaritan woman, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Can you get me some of that water, please? Regular water. Thank you. Jesus provides living water. Man cannot make that living water. The Tower of Babel was constructed about one century after Noah's flood. And Paul describes what happened in those days. Romans 1, because that when they knew God, which Noah and his sons certainly did, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened.
Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. And if this could happen to Noah's descendants right after, while Noah was living, this can still happen to us, young people. We need to be sure we don't get involved in the things of the devil. Because when we allow the things of the devil into our lives, we start to become vain in our imaginations. And when we do that, our heart is going to be darkened by foolishness. And we're going to become just as reprobate as Noah's descendants. This can happen to Christians as well as to lost men. Don't allow Satan's devices, don't allow Satanism into our lives. Witchcraft, idolatry, immorality, all of these things will darken the heart, will add vain imaginations into our lives, and we will be a mess. Wherefore, Romans continues, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Thank you, sir. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. Idolatry in the Bible is equaled God says it is the same as spiritual adultery. Spiritual adultery, of course, is harlotry against God. This is why God named Babylon's religious system, which is the beginning of every kind of idol worship, God entitled Babylon's religious system Mystery Babylon. Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And Babylon's system has stuck with man this entire time, ever since then, and will be until God destroys it during the tribulation. Babylonianism, the characteristics of Babylonianism or Mystery Babylon, we have a whole list of them here. And all of these include all of the religions of the earth. There isn't a religion in the world that doesn't fall under one of these categories. Self-worship, that's the main one right there. That's why it's in a different color. The main thing of Babylonianism is self-worship. But also luck worship, good works worship, star worship, serpent worship, occultism, goddess worship, mother goddess worship, mysticism, creation myth worship, and commercialism. Ah, America's sin right there. One of them. We're going to look at the first half of these tonight, real quick. The heart and soul of Babylonianism is self-worship. The people said, let us make us a name. They were not glorifying and serving God. They were glorifying and serving themselves. Pride and self-will is at the heart of idolatry. Let me say that again. Pride and self-will is at the heart of idolatry. It is not about man worshiping God. It is about man worshiping himself. Babylonian religion promises that man will be his own God, freeing him from accountability to the Almighty God. And that's what man wants in his sinful state. He doesn't want to answer to God. Babylonianism perpetuates the devil's lie when he said to Eve, ye shall be as gods. No, you won't. Babylonian idolatry is about the pursuit of self-will, self-fulfillment, self-empowerment, self-esteem. This is a chief characteristic of end-time apostasy. In the last days, men shall be lovers of their own selves. The modern pop culture is narcissistic to the core. It's the me generation. I'm free to do what I want any old time, the Rolling Stones said in 1965, all the way back then. And it certainly hasn't gotten any better. So primarily Babylonianism, Mystery Babylon, is self-worship. But also it is luck worship. Luck worship. It is the pursuit of good fortune, success. This was a major attraction of Baal worship. You see how it changed names through the centuries? Turned into Baal worship. Baal was worshipped for good weather, good crops, good jobs, happiness, prosperity. Tyche was the ancient goddess of good luck. Ah, changed again. But it's still the same Babylonianism.
The people worshiped different gods and goddesses in order to obtain various benefits. Thoth was the god of healing, this dumb-looking monkey. Tauret was the goddess of pregnancy and the protection of infants. The ancient Mesopotamians would bury idols under the foundation of their houses for good fortune. This one at the Oriental Institute has inscribed on its arms, "Tear out evil" on one arm, and then "Come in riches" on the other arm. And you know what? It's the same thing today. Hindus do this same exact type of thing today when they build a new house. Here a police officer, follows a Hindu priest's instructions in preparing a foundation the way their Babylonian gods want them to do it. The Hindu goddess Lakshmi is the goddess of good fortune today. It has changed names and changed pictures, but it's still Satan's Babylonianism. The pursuit of good fortune appeals deeply to fallen man who is covetous and lives only for this present world and is blind to the reality of Almighty God. Babylonianism is also good works worship. Good works worship. This goes back all the way to Cain, who offered the fruit of his own works to God. That's what he was doing. He was offering up his best good works to God. Every man-made religion has been a works religion. Natural man does not want to acknowledge that he is unrighteous before God, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. The Egyptian doctrine illustrates the Babylonian concept of salvation through good works. Same idea, different nation, different God's names, but it's still Satan's same old lie. The deceased person's heart is weighed against the feather of Maat, signifying the weighing of his good works against the bad. If he fails the test, his soul is devoured. If he passes the judgment, he is received into the presence of the gods, supposedly. Of course, this doesn't happen. It's false doctrine. It's the devil's lie. But it's the devil's same old lie. Ancient idolatry was permeated with the concept of works religion. And so it is that way today. But the Assyrian palaces were decorated with images of a tree of life being watered. Tree of life being watered. Why would you need to water the tree of life? The tree of life depicted eternal life, and the watering signified the idolatrous rituals to which the people were devoted. This was the pathway to salvation, supposedly. The vast majority of people everywhere believe this ancient Babylonian lie, thinking that salvation is by good deeds, sincerity, religion, or whatever. Even New Agers believe in good works, though they have rejected the standards of biblical morality. Acceptable good works to them are things such as saving the environment, ending poverty, striving for gender equality, promoting gay rights and abortion rights, solving the AIDS crisis, and opposing biblical fundamentalism. Even New Agers believe in their good works. The truth is that man is totally condemned by God's righteous standards, and only through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ can any sinner be accepted before Almighty God. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Babylonianism is also star worship. Boy, Satan covered it all when he got involved there in Babylon. Babel was the beginning of astrology. The sun god was called Shamash, Marduk, Asher, and other names. One of his symbols was a disc or a wheel encircling a star or cross and could have rays shooting out of it. The moon was worshipped as Sin and other names. His symbol was the crescent moon. The crescent moon. Moon worship continued in Rome as Luna. In Greece, as Selene, but still the same old false god. In Hinduism today, the sun is worshipped as Surya, and the moon is worshipped as Chandra. Their symbols are still the crescent and the wheel of rays. An ancient Hindu tablet at the Bhutan Museum in Kathmandu with the symbol for the moon on the left and the sun on the right. It's still Babylonianism. The Nepali coin features these same symbols. The moon goddess is worshipped in Buddhism as Tara. Poor Muslims do not even know it, but their false god Allah is nothing but another version of Satan's modernized moon god. Just like all of the other moon gods, the Islamic symbol is the crescent moon. Why? When Muhammad threw out all the idols out of the Kaaba, should be Kaaba, not Kabbal, when he was establishing Islam, he kept only one, the moon god idol that was there in the Kaaba, and renamed it Allah. That's who the Muslims are worshipping, the old Babylonian moon god. Sun and moon worship is also part of the New Age. Astrology is more popular today than ever. It is said that 90% of all people under 30 in America know their star sign far more than know the names of the four Gospels. Since the first modern astrology column appeared in London's Sunday Express in August 1930, with a birth chart for Princess Margaret, regular horoscope columns have been popular features in newspapers. Astrology has received a major boost in popularity via the internet and smartphone apps. People have rejected the Bible and don't believe Bible prophecy, but they want to know the future, so they grasp at occultism. Babylonianism is also serpent worship. Serpent worship. The old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. Satan wants to be worshipped as God, and they're even worshipping his symbol, his animal symbol, the serpent. The serpent has been a prominent feature of idolatry from the time of Babel. Bel or Marduk, one of Babylon's chief gods, was worshipped both as a serpent and as a dragon. In hymns, he was addressed as the great serpent dragon. The goddess Wadjet, the protectress of Egypt, was worshipped as the cobra. This golden image from the tomb of King Tut was displayed at the traveling exhibition at the Pacific Science Center in Seattle in 2012. In Greek mythology, Asclepios, the healer, was associated with the serpent. The serpents in Asclepios' temples were thought to bring healing to the devotees. The serpent was worshipped by the Romans. This bearded snake from the 1st century AD is in the British Museum. Here's a Roman serpent image on display at the Ephesus Museum. The Mayans, the New World, the Mayans worshipped Quetzalcoatl as the plumed serpent. The serpent is prominent in voodoo. Voodoo worship in Africa, Haiti, and elsewhere. The snake is prominent in Hinduism. The back of this throne of an ancient Hindu king in Kathmandu has intertwined serpents. Shiva worship is closely associated with serpent worship. Nag Panchami is a yearly festival during which the serpent is worshipped. Here Buddha sits on the coiled serpent and is shielded by its hood. You see, all of these religions of the world, Buddhism, Hinduism, Shiva, they all have the same Babylonian garbage, the Babylonian lie. They're all from the same source. The Chinese zodiac has 4 years that pertain to the year of the serpent. 2013 is one of these. I think we're going to stop there. We'll get into the occult worship next time. That's where I wanted to stop. Babylon's religion, Mystery Babylon. Babylonianism, self-worship, luck worship, good works worship, star worship, serpent worship, and we'll start with occultism next time. And that's why the idea of Babylon goes all the way through Scripture. Babylon's religions are the same today. They're still around today. They've changed names. They've changed looks. They've changed the names of the religions, the names of the gods and goddesses, the false idols.
They've changed everything. Satan has updated and revamped. And we're going to see that even Mary comes from Babylon. The idea of the Madonna and the idea of the mother child. That was all worshipped in Babylon. Okay, quiz questions. Let's see, how many of you are 11 and younger? Raise your hand real quick. 11 and younger. And, okay, you can put your hands down. And then 12 and older. There's always one. Okay, we'll go with that. 11 and younger and 12 and older. That way Mac and Reuben are on different sides, right? Younger kids. Who is the first king of Babel or Babylon? The first king of Babel or Babylon? Who? Nimrod. Older kids, what chapters of the Bible give us the ancient history of this city? What two chapters of the Bible? Genesis 10 and 11. Very good. Younger kids, did Noah's flood destroy the first Babel and the Tower of Babel? Did Noah's flood destroy the first Babel and the Tower of Babel? No. Noah's flood had happened already about 100 years before Babel began to be built, approximately. Older kids, along what river was Babylon built? Euphrates River. Younger kids, what was one of the three names for this specific area or region of the world? One of the three names. I made sure I said all of them tonight. The Bible says two of the names. It doesn't say the third. Mesopotamia, very good. Shinar, Mesopotamia, those are the ones in the Bible, and the Fertile Crescent. Older kids, what was the name of the other man in Genesis 10 who built great cities like Nimrod? The name of the other man. Asher. Everybody's tied still. Younger kids, the reason they built the Tower of Babel was to worship God. True or false? The reason they built the Tower of Babel was to worship God in heaven. True or false? False. Very good. They were trying to build their own religion, their own way to God. Older kids, what is the name of one of the other two men mentioned besides Asher? Not in the Bible, but mentioned in the study. One of the other two men besides Asher that are known to historians and could have been the biblical Nimrod. Gilgamesh. Do you remember the other guy's name? It was just one of them. But anyway, Asher was the one that was mentioned in the Bible. Naram-Sin was the third guy. Younger kids, according to Herodotus, which tower was bigger? According to Herodotus, which tower was bigger? The Tower of Babylon? The Tower of Babel or Nebuchadnezzar's Babylon Tower? Which one was bigger? The Tower of Babel. Very good. The original Tower of Babel, according to Herodotus. Also, older kids, according to Herodotus, what kind of shape or building structure was the Tower of Babel? A stepped pyramid, or what's another name for that? A ziggurat. Very good. These ancient towers were colorful and very impressive. Younger kids, I'm talking, this is yours. Each stage of these ancient towers was a different color, answering to the colors of the planets. The shrines or the temples at the top were typically built of what color of bricks? Blue. bright blue bricks. Older kids, because these towers were big and high, and the steps or stages of the towers were colored in respect to planets or stars, and the steps often were planted with trees, from that time forward, idolatry was associated with what three things and are specifically mentioned in the Bible? Very good. High places, groves, and star worship. Younger kids, what sin, which is the sin that breaks the first commandment, what sin does God liken to spiritual adultery against him? What sin, and this is the hint, this sin breaks the first commandment of the Ten Commandments. What is it? This sin God likens or God equates to spiritual adultery against him. What sin breaks the first commandment? No. No, 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 no. Not thou shalt not kill. Nope. Try again. Yes. No, not Adam and Eve sin. Girls, the Ten Commandments. The first of the Ten Commandments. Anybody else want to help my girls out? Younger kids. Rosie, you know. You're 12 now? You were 11 last week. Oh, man. Oh, I did 12 and under last week. Okay. I'm confusing myself. Who knows? What younger kid knows the first commandment of the Ten Commandments? Thou shalt not have any other. No, not toys. Gods before me. So what sin breaks that? Having another God before God, right? Putting something before God. And that is called idolatry. So idolatry is likened by God to spiritual adultery. And that is why God named Babylon and the religions of Babylon, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots. The mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. Oh boy. I did it to myself. I got to preaching. And I preached right through my question and answer. Since idolatry is spiritual harlotry, and ancient Babylon began all the false religions, what name did God rightfully give to the religion of Babylon? Mystery Babylon, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. Okay. That would have been the older kids' question. This one probably is too hard for the younger kids anyway. Older kids, what is at the very heart and soul of Babylonian idolatry? Right. I'll give it to you. Self-worship. Self-worship. Pride and self-will. Self-worship. Younger kids, what kind of idol worship was Cain guilty of when he brought the best fruit of his own labor that was also a part of Babylonian religion, or became part of Babylonian religion? What kind of idolatry was Cain guilty of when he brought the best of his own fruits? The best of his own labor. We talked about it. Good works worship. Very good. Good works worship. Older kids, name a modern religion that worships the sun or the moon today. Islam worships the moon god. Pretty much, you could just about, you almost wouldn't be wrong. But anyway, Buddhism, Hinduism, Islam, New Age astrologists, they all do. All those do. Younger kids, this is your last one. What animal was worshipped in Babylon and is worshipped even today, but is an animal that represents Satan, the devil? The serpent. Very good. The serpent or snake. Last question for the older kids. Idolatry and Babylonianism promises man that they can be their own gods. This frees man from what? Which is what man wants. And that's why they worship idols. Idol worship, idolatry, promises man that they can be their own gods. This frees man from what eventuality? They think. But it doesn't. Very good. God's judgment, accountability to God, accountability to God. If the real God doesn't exist and these false gods are the real false gods, then I won't have to answer to the true God. And so they blind themselves and they convince themselves that their little pathetic false gods are the true God. So they don't have to think about, well, one day I'm going to answer to the God of heaven. I'm going to answer to a perfect creator who created me to worship him, but I'm not doing that. I'm failing him. And so they're all going to be found guilty before God. Well, that's the first half of the religions that were part of Babel and Babylon. And you all tied, I believe. Nobody got ahead. Very good. All right. Do we have some prayer requests tonight? Did you learn something tonight? Do you understand now why preachers can preach about false religions and the fact that it's still the same old religion? Still the same old religion. Satan's just adjusted it, tweaked it, made it more modern. But it's still the same old religion from way back, right after the flood. Satan started all of the religions of the world, right there in Babylon. All right. Please be praying for little Jaden. He came through the surgery okay. He's now resting and recovering. My wife talked to Vicky today, and she said he was doing okay. So thank you, everybody, for praying. And please keep on praying. They think they did a good job removing the tumor. They don't think they left anything in there. So, as soon as he gets recovered, and the sooner the better for the radiation treatment so that it doesn't come back, is what they believe, that as fast as they can get radiation on the spot, it's more likely that none of the cancer will come back. So, pray that he recovers quickly and gets strong quickly so they can start the radiation on that kidney area. And then they will also start chemo at the same time. And keep praying for Sister Pooter and for all of the other ones that are on our special prayer request list who have cancer. Sister Soria, Brother Jonathan is going down to visit his mom this Saturday, and so please be in prayer for him, but also his mom. She's doing a special, what's the word for it? A special treatment that's a testing treatment. There you go, thank you, experimental treatment. So please be in prayer for her that it will work. Apparently it's worked sometimes, sometimes not. Be praying for Sister Soria, please. And safety for Brother Jonathan as he travels Saturday and then coming back Thursday.
And also, my parents are on the road back. They're in New Mexico now. And Brother Jared is still on the road back down to his house. So please be praying for all three of these groups that are traveling. And Brother Jack is traveling to Pasco for Sunday services. So be praying for him as well. Lots of people traveling. Anything that we need to pray for that you know about. Pray for our country. Pray for revival in our country. Pray for our leaders that they would get saved and be making laws that are pleasing to God. Please pray for our upcoming conference with Brother Cloud in June 5th through the 16th. Also, be praying for S.M. Davis. I'm trying to get him here, but the flights have skyrocketed, and he's getting older, so he's not doing mini-day conferences anymore. So it'll be basically a one-day thing on a Sunday that we get him up here for, most likely. I might be able to beg him into doing a Saturday evening and a Sunday. We'll see what happens there. But anyway, to get him here for the first opening that he had in July was going to cost us $1,000. So we're waiting to see if the price goes down. And then if he can't be here in July, he might be able to be here in November, early November. So anyway, be praying for that. It'll be most likely a one-day thing on a Sunday. Anything else? Yes? Uh-oh. Pray for Stephanie. She's got a fever. Pray for my family. We've got a cold. It's not serious. But pray that it will just die out. Stephanie has a fever. The cold will die out. Not that my family will die out. My goodness. Got to be specific around here. Yes?
As far as I know, Tiffany doesn't have her hand. Here is the ultrasound Saturday that she had showed bruising from the baby kicking her.
Oh.
So the swelling and the lump of those bruises from the baby.
Okay, so praise the Lord, Tiffany does not have a hernia. It's just the baby kicking her and bruising her. So praise the Lord for that. Pray for our missionaries, Brother Wild, Brother Jack. He would be a missionary again, he says. Amen. And pray for Pastor Byers and Anchor Baptist Church there in Astoria, and also the church, Victory Baptist Church in Myanmar, Burma, Sister Dorcas and Pastor Noon. Keep them in prayer, please. As well as Dr. Cloud and the Benzel family down in Honduras and others that we've had come through. The Bach family, the Burden family to Indonesia, Andrew Lewis to Israel. And we've had several others in the last 8 years come through here. Keep them in prayer before the Lord, please. Pray for Jonathan, Daniel's brother. One doctor told him he got the award for the worst break this year. He was skiing and his break along the lower leg, right? Down by his shin. The brake twisted on the way broken, and he was going through a lot of doctors trying to find one that would treat him. Did he get somebody to treat him? So it's a really bad break.
we think he's been treated, but keep him in prayer. What? Pray for that God would use this to bring him back to himself. Yes. Anything else? Anything else? All right. Are we still online? Well, we're going to sign off. Please take the time to pray with your family. God bless you for watching. Good night. Let's break up into our prayer groups, please.